Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. We're back with Snowboarded Part 2. But before we get started, I have a little gifty for you from Tanya.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's heavy.
Oh my gosh.
Limited edition.
No, girl, I bought these. I have a
you
case
found
of them. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because after we had lunch or dinner that one night, you guys, this is the best. We used to get this all the time when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It was our favorite flavor. It was my favorite flavor all the way. I mean, I was even making this at the mansion.
But for those who can't see, what is it?
Oh, sorry. It is the Betty Crocker Cherry Chip Cake Mix. And it's always been a little elusive, like sort of hard to find. And then it just disappeared.
Yes.
And then when we were having dinner with Tanya, she said that she found it on Amazon, but you have to buy a whole case.
Yeah.
And so I did it.
Oh my God, I didn't know.
But tell her, thank you so much. I did not buy the frosting, so I'm excited about
this. Oh yeah, the cherry frosting is so good.
I'm so excited. Tell her, thank you so much.
Yeah, I love that flavor. And yeah, so is it discontinued and that's just the last of it they're selling on Amazon? Or do they still make it and you just have to order it special?
I don't know. I was worried that they were discontinuing it. So it's going to be kind of like old cake mixes or ones that were going to expire soon. But they don't. So I feel like they are still producing them. But like,
it just doesn't get the distribution maybe?
I guess. I mean, maybe it's you know, certain regions. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's regional. I don't know. But we do not have them here. Definitely don't have them in Vegas either because Tanya can't find it. And yeah, it's just this mystery why they don't do it.
Yeah, cherry chip is so good.
So I was going through our scrapbooks and I found some fun little things that I was going to share. And then this is not related to our snowboarding episode, but it is related to our schedule at that time. And it's just interesting. Kevin wrote this to Hef about, Hef wrote this to Kevin because he felt like there was so much going on that we need better communication. And he said, it would help if we could get more advance notice on the girls' shooting schedule so we can coordinate the rest of what we're doing and avoid conflicts. So something must have happened where there was a conflict.
It shocks me that there ever was a conflict or ever was anything that didn't work well, because you'd think they would just be like scrambling to not step on Hef's toes or make the mansion schedule come first.
Yeah. I don't know that there was, but it just, the fact that Hef wrote this big ass email, it seems to me like there was something going on.
Which, by the way, for people who don't know, Hef was the king of the wordy memo. Like if he wanted to like edit something or like let you know what's up, it would get long.
I just think it's interesting what's on here, like what he had scheduled for us to film and then what, and some of the comments about it, and then what didn't happen that was supposed to, that was in here. But January 16th, photo studio, Holly will be overseeing photo shoot with Tamara Sky. And at that same time, we're going to be shooting Playmate of the Year. So we'll be able to cover both and get some interaction with both in the studio. January 16th at night, Holly's taking the centerfold candidate, Tamara, to dinner with the girls so they can become acquainted. The evening will involve a red carpet at the Playboy Legacy Party at Republic, the old Bliss, says in there, in West Hollywood, and dinner at the Stinking Rose. We should be able to get camera crew clearances for both locations. But I think it's interesting because we were supposed to shoot that to get to know Tamara better. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like we knew one more thing about Tamara after that, after what they shot with that.
No. And also she was really quiet. Yeah. So.
And then January 18th, back at the photos at Playboy West, shooting with Sarah. But they don't say who it is. And then February 5th, 6th, and 7th, snowboarding in Utah, although that, you know, gets changed to Colorado. March 30th and April 1st, Hess' birthday in Vegas. We'll shoot whatever you want in the suite on Friday afternoon and evening and Saturday afternoon. The big birthday party will be Saturday night, the 31st, and we'll return to LA early Sunday morning, right after the party. I know. April 21st, Carmela's wedding. And we have to talk about that at some
point. Totally.
I don't know if it's today, but.
Yeah. Where does that land with the other episodes? Obviously, it would be after Hearts of Fire.
Yeah. And it would be after Hef's birthday.
Okay. So we'll keep that in mind.
But we were supposed to film Carmela's wedding. She was getting married to Jeff Garcia. And we were supposed to fly in that day and return right after the reception that night.
I wonder why we didn't film it. I forgot that we were ever supposed to film it.
Yeah.
Did she say no? Or
I don't know.
We'll have to ask her.
Yeah, we'll ask her. May 3rd, the Playmate of the Year press luncheon. And there's a note on here. Holly's parents, this is in capitals, Holly's parents will be here for the event. So you'll be able to get something on them for the first time.
Is that the first time?
I think so.
Wow, that makes sense. But also seems like late in the game.
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else's family.
For sure, it is. Crystal Camden's Cyber Girl shoot.
Aww.
And we do film that.
Yeah, that's
Holly and
fun.
Bridget will be there to lend encouragement. Alaska, we need to establish the dates for this. And then there's some other things that he put on here. He said babysitting. It looks as though babysitting John and Victoria's baby may be a lost cause. John wants to direct the scene and be in it, which has killed Holly's enthusiasm for the whole idea.
Well, I think him being in it kind of like misses the point of babysitting. Like, I think when we actually did it, they were there, like on set, just kind of off camera, just to kind of like observe and everything like that. But I think having him in the scenes,
right?
It's not babysitting, really. It's
hanging out with John and his baby.
That's so funny.
And then it says additional tape coverage. I'm sending additional footage from the holidays over so you can use it. We got Christmas snow coverage, etc. And then at the end, I thought this was interesting. I understand that you and Holly had a very good meeting. After our phone conversation, I asked her about your concern related to the relationship between the girls, and she said she thought things were fine. I think we can get more scenes involving all the girls together now if we plan them that way. But they need to be activities the girls are already really interested in doing.
That's interesting. So Kevin had concerns about the three of our relationship. Took that back to Hef. I had a meeting with Kevin. I came back to Hef and said, I think everything's fine.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird. I wonder why Kevin thought things were so bad.
But because she's not participating.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was all coming from Kendra.
Yeah.
And from my end, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Because I thought everything was fine at the time.
Yeah. So it was fine with us.
Yeah.
Wasn't fine with Kendra, I don't think. And then there's an addendum to this. It says, I failed to mention the first Vegas trip for Girls Next Door bunny training. February 21st, Vegas. The girls will go to Vegas. They could stay in my suite at the Palms, and Holly and Bridget will spend the day in bunny training and actually work as bunnies for charity that night. But I did not do that. I don't know if you ever did it, but
I did not. Well, we wanted to, but clearly they didn't let us. I did it in real life. Like after Girls Next Door, I was a dealer for charity.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would have been fun. I would have loved to do that episode, and I wonder why we didn't do it.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting.
Clearly, it wasn't us canceling it. It must have been something like, oh, Kendra doesn't want to do it, so let's not do it, since they're clearly trying to get the three of us.
It doesn't even say. I don't think she was ever on the table to do it.
I don't think she was, but I bet that's why they ixnayed it. Unless the Palms, like, didn't have room, but I can't imagine they wouldn't have accommodated us.
The Palms would love it.
Yeah.
And then it says, when we go to Vegas for my birthday, mind you, this is Hef saying this. When we go to Vegas for my birthday at the end of March, you may want to surprise me by having Holly and Bridget serve me a birthday cake in their bunny costumes.
Okay, that's so funny and so like typical him referring to himself in third person kind of vibes. But it's a cute idea. And I think it's cute that he thought of it.
And then they added that Bridget's going to Chicago and there for the Halloween costume convention with her mom.
And I know we're not really surprising Hef because it was his idea. But how, even theoretically, how would we surprise Hef? We would have to leave in time to get changed into a bunny costume, which takes a minute,
yes,
and walk the cake out. So what, he's just sitting there with Kendra and some playmates and not knowing where we are, you know? Like, I can't even picture that happening in real life.
Well, I guess he'd be okay with it because he does know where we are and he knows what's about to happen.
But I wonder if he'd be acting like he didn't know where we were. Like, I wonder what the, because it's so, because like if we really left to surprise him, it was like the time you were in the cake and he's like, where's Bridget? She's missing this.
Yeah, he was all mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think it's interesting that instead of us doing that, Pam does the whole thing back at the suite.
Yeah. I feel like, do you feel like that's related though? I feel like that was just something she wanted to do and popped on the show up because that felt very impromptu.
Yeah. I think it was definitely.
If you catch my drift.
Yes, I do. And I do think it was impromptu, but I feel like that maybe was like it worked as a substitute for them,
yeah,
kind of thing, you know? Anyway, those were the notes I found in my scrapbook. I thought you guys would find them interesting to share. Yeah. All right. So back to the show. Well, okay. So then we're on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Or mountain, I guess I should say. And she's like going super fast and everything. And then Matt catches up to her and tells her, yeah, he's just like, you need to slow down, like, speed racer or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he says it in a friendly way, but I think he's serious that she's being like a little bit reckless, mm-hmm, and going too fast. Yeah. And he's telling her to slow down. And then one of the instructors sits her down and tells her, you know, you need to slow down and we need to get a few things sorted out, straight out. And she, in an interview, is talking about how she hates people telling her what to do. And I just thought, this is, at the time, I was just like, oh, I get it. She already knows how, mm-hmm, to snowboard and they're treating her like she doesn't. But I don't think that's what's going on when I'm rewatching this back. I think that she was being reckless up there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was jeopardizing other people's potential safety on the, yeah, mountain. And they were sitting her down to tell her what she needs to be doing properly,
yeah,
on the mountain. And she doesn't want to hear it and she doesn't want to listen. But it does come back to bite her later in this episode because she does have a collision later.
Yeah.
And you can, I guess, argue about whose fault it is. But one of the things the instructor tells her is that when she's coming down the hill and she's moving around like that, she needs to look over her shoulder and see who's behind her and who's, right, coming down, because that's where the collision happens later on.
You have a Gwyneth Paltrow situation. Did you follow that at all?
I know about what you're talking about, that she collided with like an old guy and then he like sued her.
Yeah, but the fascinating thing was she had to go do this trial that was like filmed and everything.
Yeah.
But the odd thing was the whole thing kind of worked in her favor. Just people kind of fell in love with Gwyneth Paltrow's quirkiness again. And just like she brought cookies for everybody into the courtroom. And just like, and then after the guy lost his lawsuit against, yes, her. But then she left and she like leaned over to him and whispered something,
yeah,
like,
that's right,
I hold no ill will or something, that's like, right, that. It was so funny.
I forgot about that part. That's right.
Yeah.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
That's Marston calling. Hello. What, are you here? And there's a dark gate. There's like a dark fencing out front, but there's like an entrance and an exit. And then when you pull in, there's a parking lot up front. And then you just have to ring at the door. And they'll let you in.
There's couches and stuff.
And then there's couches and stuff that you can hang out on until we're done recording. Awesome. See you in a little bit. Okay, bye.
Fun. Anyway, where were we after Gwyneth Paltrow and Marston?
Oh, yeah. Oh, spoiler alert. Marston's coming in for another interview. Okay, so the instructor is telling her, you know, she needs to look uphill, make sure you don't, you know, get in front of someone as they're coming down. And she's like screaming, I know. I know I kind of mentioned this already, but just to go back, like, I wasn't sure, like, if he was telling her all these things because he thinks that we're all inexperienced, or if he was telling her these things because he's already seen her like not obey like the rules of the mountain or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Or do you think the show was trying to like push any kind of storyline? Like, you need to go tell her to calm down or something.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I mean, we were not on that part of the mountain with her. I feel like our instructors were like really chill. Like, I always get kind of nervous that they're going like, to get grumpy.
Yeah, I remember our instructor's vibes so clearly. Like, I just remember what he looked like, his vibe, and just they were really cool.
I feel like they had kind of a surfer vibe, like just that chill.
No, I remember. I think we commented on that. They have like the traditional surfer accent.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they teach, one of the first things they taught us anyway, maybe they teach everybody, is how to fall properly, because that's what you're going to be doing mostly. And you want to try and avoid injury, which I appreciated, because I talked about last time how I was nervous to be doing this because I did hurt my tailbone really bad.
And I appreciated because I'm clumsy.
It shows like Kendra trying to do that rail and everything. And she's like getting really frustrated because she can't do it. She doesn't have a lot of patience with herself. Like, you can't just expect to get up and just do that on the first thing. So I feel like she doesn't have a lot of patience with herself. And she's just getting very frustrated. And then that's kind of the end of the day. I thought it was interesting because I didn't remember that we didn't get our custom boards right away. Because I was like, why aren't we using our custom boards? But we, for some reason, don't get them till the next day.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And I think that they were just like, I think those got barely made in time. Like, I think that they barely had them for us to even have the second day. Yeah. So the first day we were just using rental boards. So then it cuts back to the condo and we walk in and there, you guys, this was like a dream. A dream. There are massage tables set up, plates of candy set out, champagne on ice. Like, it was so, candles lit everywhere, like thousands of candles. It was seriously magical. Like, it was so amazing. And we needed those massages so bad.
I know, it was perfect timing.
Because when you don't do, I don't know how many of you have been snowboarding or skiing or anything like that, but when you don't do that and then you go and do it, you are so sore. You use muscles that you never even knew you had. Oh, and they had roses on the beds and chocolate covered strawberries. Like, the whole scene was just like so cool. We felt so spoiled. Yeah. So there's a note left for us telling us to pamper ourselves, relax and enjoy. And we get into robes and it shows Kendra sound asleep on the couch.
And when we get into the beds, you see like a snippet of nudity, which they probably appreciated since we were so covered up the whole episode.
Yes, it's quick. It's a blip. But yeah, they make sure they show each one of us nude.
Totally. 100%. And I have to say, I love a lot of the sound effects they use in this episode. Like the ones of us falling when we're snowboarding, they do all these funny cartoony like boink.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. And then they do some really funny like fake snoring on Kendra when she falls asleep and stuff. Yeah. And there was another funny, well, even not even fake noises, but she was being really funny because they would do the massage on her and she'd be like, ow.
Yeah.
Ow. And it would just be like so random and out of nowhere. It would be funny.
Yeah. Every time they press, she was like, ow, 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 yeah. ow.
And there was another funny noise.
Oh my God. First, I want to say too, that room, that condo had a fireplace. And yeah, I love a fireplace. It was so, so, so cozy. But yes, the other noise.
The fart heard round the world.
It was the biggest blast, you guys, I've ever heard.
And everybody was super quiet. And one of the cameramen just let one. And we could not stop laughing.
Yeah, but he tried to be secretive about it. Like, we're filming all of it. And they decide to take a break and just let us do our massages. And they go just around the corner. And all of a sudden, you just hear. And we were like, what the hell?
Like a whoopee cushion. So funny.
It was the loudest, biggest fart, and everybody was cracking up. Like, we couldn't even, even the massage, everybody was laughing their asses off.
It was so funny.
Oh, God, the fart. I mean, the fart.
We were laughing about that for like weeks.
For some reason, I thought that they had left the fart in the scene. They didn't. But for some reason, I thought they had. It's so vivid in my mind. Like, I feel like I've seen it happen too. Like, not just been there for it, but like have seen it happen.
I can see how you would remember that though, because we're kind of like laughing over like I was laughing over like Kendra saying funny things. Like, that was left in.
Yeah. The most of the laughter wasn't so much Kendra being so funny. It was mostly us still laughing about the fart.
I know, but you don't know that. Yeah. Watching it.
So then we showered and got ready for dinner, and we went to a place called Chaps.
This is one of my favorite memories from the trip. I just thought that dinner, it was just such a cozy, like lodgy place. It was a really fun time for the three of us. We were really getting along and stuff. And I love my lavender sweater, hat, and scarf set. I wish I still had it. It was from the Victoria's Secret catalog.
You look very French.
Very jaunty. Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting fun fact, though, outside of what you saw on the show. In commentary, we're talking about how there was this guy, and I remember him. He was just like lurking and staring at us, like inappropriately so, like just like ruining the scenes, like just like gawking and everything. And he was taking pictures the whole time and just being real annoying and real intrusive. And so Joe, he was our security person. He walked over to him and asked him to please stop. And he got all huffy with Joe and asked him if he was going to be on the mountain the next day. And Joe said, yeah. And he told him, well, he better stay away from the top or he might find himself falling off.
That is being
threatened, Joe.
Dream.
Yeah. This guy is a real sleaze bag.
And Joe was like wearing a pinky ring. Like, you don't want to fuck with Joe.
I think you don't want to mess with Joe.
That's crazy.
So then the scene, and I thought for sure you were going to hate going over the scene and want to skip it all together. And I think I texted you or voice noted you or something about it. I was like, oh, I want to talk about the scene, but I know you're going to hate it. But it's a food trying scene.
Yeah. But you know what's so funny is I actually really like this scene, even though you would think I would hate it because I complain so much about the trying food scenes, or that Kevin would think it was so funny that somebody's trying a fancy food. And I just think that's like not funny.
Yeah.
But this scene I'm really fond of. And I think the difference between this scene and the other times we do it is this one is so organic. It's not Kevin saying, we're going to France. I know. Kendra trying escargot. Like, it's not that. This is something that nobody set up. It was just very organic. And there's a little bit of backstory to it. There's a little bit of differing opinions on it. They do like a cute graphic, like the whole thing. Like, there's genuine funny lines in the thing. So it turns out very different. I do usually hate these scenes.
Yeah.
But this one I really like.
Yeah. So for those of you that haven't seen it lately or not sure what we're talking about, we go into this restaurant. It's a very fancy restaurant. One of the things that they are serving is elk medallions. So nothing I would be interested in eating. Typically, I stay away from all of that kind of thing. But the waiter, and we're joking about it with the waiter, and he said, actually, he highly recommends them and that they're phenomenal at this restaurant. And so you grew up having elk.
Yeah, well, we lived in very rural Alaska. So, you know, not only was that, you know, something you'd eat there, but like I grew up hunting and fishing. Like, there were times we didn't even live close to a grocery store. We had to order our groceries off of like a ship that would come every couple of months. So hunting and fishing was like most of what we would eat. Like, we would fully, like, we'd take a big old deer back on our kitchen table. You'd skin the deer. Oh, like, God. I was a whole part of the process, like,
oh my God,
freezing the meat and everything like that. So I'm in there saying like, oh, it's no big deal. Like, I ate elk all the time. Like, we probably didn't have actual elk most of the time. It was mostly like regular deer. but same difference. I think you guys would have been as freaked out by deer meat.
I would. Yes. Well, I asked the waiter what it tastes like, and he said it has some game on it. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's all anybody has to say to make me want to throw up and not eat something for the rest of my life is that it's gamey.
Gamey.
Zero. Zero interest in having anything gamey. If I even think something has a slight gamey taste, and it could be beef, it could be something, I'm like, nope. Nope, keep it away from me. We had pepperoni on a pizza one time that I felt like tasted a little gamey, and I was like, that's disgusting. Nick's like, wrong, nothing wrong with it, like totally eating. And I'm like, no.
That's
ick,
so funny.
Ick. So I wasn't keen about trying it, but I just felt like, well, if I'm ever gonna try it, now's the time.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not opposed to trying new things, but I would have been fine not trying it too on this, but it's the show.
Yeah. And they do a cute little animation of my bobblehead shooting a deer.
Yes, that was funny.
And I remember Kevin said specifically he had to make it my bobblehead shooting a deer. Like he felt like it would be a little too like on the edge if it was me shooting a deer.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it's cute with the bobblehead.
It is cute with the bobblehead.
And they cut to like really weird, like sniffly faces of me and Kendra. And then they cut to Kendra in confessional. She's like, they tried to serve me eel. I mean, elk. And I just think it really turned out to be a genuinely funny scene. And the reason I typically hate the like planned trying food scenes is I just don't think they're funny. But I feel like this one turned out cute and funny, and it was organic and nobody made us do it. And it wasn't like, you know.
And you know what's funny about it, too, is that we all are without even trying. I mean, I want to say in our character, but we're not being characters really, mm-hmm. but like you order it for dinner as your entree and it shows you eating it. And you're like, and we're waiting for you to say, and you're like, it's good. It's elk. Yeah. It's like, whatever. And then I try it and I'm like so scared to try it, but I try it and I'm like, it's okay. You know, I'm not going to finish mm-hmm. eating it, but it was, I made it. I survived trying it. And then there's Kendra who won't even taste it. Like, hell no, get out of here. But I feel like it's just so perfect how the three of us have
the
like
three bears.
Yeah, the absolute opposites. Three different ways.
Yeah. And it's exactly what you would want as a producer of the show, but it's also organic and real. And I think that's why I like this scene. And then after you try it and say it's not that bad, they play footage of us cracking up, which clearly we're cracking up about something else, but you would just think that was the most hilarious thing ever said. But I feel like I love that they captured the footage of us cracking up because that just shows what in a good mood we all were, and we were all getting along and having so much fun.
I agree. I put that down too, that we're cracking up and I'm like, that was not that funny. We're definitely laughing about something else.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
And then you say that your goal is to get a picture with the ice castle, but you don't get a picture with the ice castle. But I have like a whole shoot in the ice castle, or at least two photos I found on my camera.
I have zero photos from this trip.
I have like three. I only have three, and they're from my disposable camera.
And I do not take pictures with the ice castle because I don't have a camera on me, but I do fall into it. And I say, oh, I wanted to go to the ice castle, and here I am. And I'm literally falling in the snow around it.
If it makes you feel any better, the ice castle didn't photograph great. Like, I kind of had to remind myself, what am I even sitting in front of?
Oh.
So you didn't really miss out on much. I went to a big ice castle that you can walk through that they had in Park City when I went for Sundance one time when Rainbow was a baby, and we took like cool pictures in there. That was a cool ice castle.
I was going to ask you if you've been to any of the ice castles, because I know that there are some cool ones mm-hmm. out there. I'm not sure exactly where they are. Where'd you say that one was?
Park City.
Yeah, I've seen, I feel like they're around the world, like not just like yeah. here, but I feel like there's some really amazing ones. And I've always thought it would be cool. I mean, I don't like to be cold, but I always thought it would be cool to stay in one of those ice hotels. So like, at least just like try it for a night.
Yeah.
Back to the restaurant real quick. I do like that they captured that laugh. I do like that they captured our cheers. I do think that was a genuine moment where we were all getting along mm-hmm. and like everything was great at that moment in time. And one of the things we talked about was our favorite thing at that restaurant was Red Bull sorbet that they served us at the end.
I don't remember that, but that sounds fantastic.
I don't remember it either.
I don't drink Red Bull, but for some reason that sounds fantastic.
And in commentary, while we were doing this whole restaurant scene and stuff, you talk about how you had the biggest zit under your nose in this scene. And it was so big that you couldn't even hide it, which I don't see it in the mm-hmm. scene, but that's what you said.
Zits under the nose are so painful. And oh, I feel like when God. You start to feel one come in, the key is to get tea tree oil and put it on there and it'll make it go away. Like it won't ever even come to the point where it rises to the surface and you have to pop it. It'll make it go away.
Oh, that's good to know because yeah. I feel like I feel a little when I'm starting right here. Yeah. Like it's a little
tea
sensitive.
Tea tree oil.
And before we leave the restaurant also, Kendra asked us if we have any goals for the next day. And mine is to see the ice mm-hmm. castle. And yours is to put panties on the tree.
I'm shocked I said that word as many times as I said it because I've always hated that word so much. And I don't know where I got the idea for it, but I feel like somebody told me.
I know where.
Oh, where?
So they told us that when we take the lift up, that there is a tree where they throw panties on it. And there's all these panties all over. And we wanted to go up there so bad and do that. But that lift was broken or not running or something, or we couldn't go. I don't know what happened, but we couldn't take that lift and go up there. So we were never able to do it.
We had to make our own.
So we said, we're going to make our own. So we started it on that tree right by the hotel, which I'm sure they went and promptly took down.
Yeah, that is so funny.
I've always wanted to go back there and just see if they are there.
Yeah, you never know.
I doubt it, but I wanted to see.
I like that they set up that we have a goal for the next day. That's very us coded.
Yeah. And Kendra's is, of course, to land the rail. Okay. So then the next day, there's like pokey music playing outside our condo.
We're getting up slowly but surely.
We're hella sore. Even Kendra's hella sore. And we are trying to stretch or whatever.
They show you with food.
You guys.
It's an epidemic.
It shows Kendra and Holly like stretching a little bit, like they're getting ready for the big day and they're like going to get ready. And it shows me sitting to a giant plate of breakfast, eggs and bacon and like hash browns, full on breakfast in front of me.
Like the Pleasantville breakfast.
All of us had breakfast that morning. We were all sitting at that table eating breakfast. But then instead of cutting to me getting ready or stretching or whatever, which I was doing with everybody else too, mm-hmm. they cut to me eating breakfast. Unreal.
That's so deliberate.
Unreal. The doorbell rings. Kendra runs to answer it. Record scratches as if we didn't know who was going to be at the door. And it's Sean White.
Carrot Top. Just kidding.
And he asks us if we've stretched. And Kendra says, no, she doesn't need to stretch. And Holly and I say we don't mind stretching a little mm-hmm. bit, but I just think it's so weird because he's even saying like we should stretch and he's going to show us how to stretch, but she's like doesn't even want to take any kind of like stuff from him. And so in interview, I say today's the day we're getting our personalized snowboards. Again, I don't know why we didn't get them the first day. I think that it was literally.
I think you're right, because when you said it was like that close to the wire, that really rings a bell with me. Like they were getting it from the factory like that minute and somebody driving them up.
Yeah. So I was super excited to see him. And it shows us walking into the Burton store in downtown Vail Village, which is so cute. We talked about last time. You see the boards. Mine is, as you saw at the beginning, and if you didn't, mine's baby blue, and it has like a image of me in my bunny costume, but they switched it to baby blue. And then it says on the bottom, Bunny Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And then Holly's is red with the little snowflakes and swirls.
Mm-hmm. And just it says Holly on the other side, yeah.
And then Kendra's is all San Diego Chargers mm-hmm. themed.
Very cute.
I wonder if she regrets that now.
She doesn't like the Chargers anymore?
Well, they're not San Diego Chargers anymore.
Oh,
and I don't know if she still loves them or not.
Well, I guess that's a memory of the time.
Yeah. So then...
shows you crashing into the ice castle, if anybody wants to know what the ice castle looked like.
Yes. But the guy says, and I thought this was so true, you guys have the best clothes, the best boards, and the best instructors. And it was so true.
It was true.
Like we had the best of everything.
Perfect introduction to snowboarding.
And we thank everybody at the Burton store when we're leaving.
Praise Jesus.
Gratitude. Finally. And then, of course, we split up immediately. And so Kendra says in an interview that her main focus is to show off in front of Shaun White and impress him. And they are saying this because it's going to kind of end in, they're going to show it kind of end in disaster for her.
Yeah.
And this is where she's going down the hill and they collide, her and Shaun White collide. Mm-hmm. And he goes flipping. And I don't even know, like, if that was, like, if he was exaggerating the fall or what. But he goes, like flipping and rolling. And he's, like, very concerned that he didn't hurt her and everything. But I'm like, holy shit, this is, a pro snowboarder. This is his whole life. And he literally just tripped over her.
Shit.
And I'm just like, that could be, you don't know what kind of injury can come from that. And that's so crazy. But then it goes back to what the instructors were telling her the day before. And I feel like, and in commentary, she's very much adamant that it wasn't her fault that he tripped over her and it wasn't her getting in his way.
He's an Olympic snowboarder. How is he the one fucking up?
I know. So I'm just like, wait, but, and they were warning her about this exact thing the day before, that she needs to look over her shoulder and see who's coming from behind her. And, you know, slow down a little bit and everything. So I don't know what happened here or whose fault it is, or maybe it was nobody's fault, but definitely something happened here that shouldn't have. So then it shows Kendra and Shaun snowboarding more down the mountain. And Kendra says they took out all the tricks that she did. But I don't know.
I think they would have included a trick. I know Kevin did like to show her fucking up, you know, disproportionately.
Yeah.
But I think if she would have done a really cool trick, they would have kept that in and been like, persevere at the end.
I think so, too. And then I'm fucking with her in commentary and I'm like, yeah, I know. They didn't show any of the tricks that I did either. I mean, I was like really doing some cool shit. They pulled it all out. I think they just didn't want to look like I was showing off or something. And we're like just joking back and forth about it. And she said she's trying to do whatever Shaun was doing, which I feel like that's just setting yourself up for danger. And then Kendra says an interesting thing. She says, my mom always tells me, remember, you're a girl. You are not Shaun White. And I feel like that's a, I don't know. I was like, that's an interesting comment for a mom to make. First of all, it shouldn't matter that you're a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we're a little more loose on that now and like better about that now. Maybe it was more back then. But, and of course she's not a Shaun White, but like.
Yeah, that's odd.
I feel like why tamper it, you know? So then they come up to the rail and it shows people doing it, no problem. And she's eyeing it and, she says she's dreamed about doing it all night. And then Shaun does it, makes it look super easy, of course. And then Kendra does it and falls. And in an interview, she says she ate shit really bad. And there was a lot of people watching her. And I just wanted to remind people, though, they're not sitting around just to watch her do this. They're actually, it was a whole class that was learning how to do this. So they're sitting around waiting for them to be done filming this section so that they can do it, too. But they're also gathering around because it's Shaun White. At the rail, you know, so they're watching that. But there was a class that was trying to learn how to do the rail. So they were waiting. So she does it again and she falls again. And she just blames it on how bad that she wants to do it. But this time around, when she fell, I think she truly hurt herself.
Oh, really?
I really do. I think that she possibly gave herself a concussion.
Really?
She grabs her helmet, like her head.
Ouch.
And he runs over to her and says, oh, my God, are you okay? And she tries to play it off that she's fine, but she seems a little disoriented for a second. And she's trying to play it off with like, and it sounds like she's going to cry a little bit, but she's playing it off as more frustration. But I don't buy it. I honestly think she really hurt herself here.
Yikes.
And there's kind of proof of it a little bit later. And I'm going to get to that. Or I think it's proof of it. It's more evidence towards it, I should say. But I think she really hurt herself. I'm no doctor, so I can't say if she got a concussion or not, but I feel like something like that. But anyway, Shaun gives her a tip about leaning forward and then she like gets it the next time around. So she said, it took me three tries to get it. And in commentary, I'm fucking with her again. I'm like, yeah, that one took me four tries, but I get it. It was hard and stuff. And we're all like laughing. But I'm just saying that because we're like, we're joking with each other. We're like having a good time and getting along and stuff. And And then she points to this other one that looks even harder. And she's like, now let's do that one. Mm-hmm. And Sean's like, are you serious? Like, no. And then in commentary, we're talking about all the cool things that we think that Playmate of the Year should start getting. And one is included a custom snowboard.
Yeah, that would be cute. Why not?
Custom surfboards. Because mm-hmm. at this point, even though we aren't filming it yet, we probably are already planning or have filmed the next stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Custom Jacob watches and custom bunny necklaces. And yeah, we're talking about how fun it would be to go snowboarding with like Kara and Sarah.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
And you talk about how you want to set up a whole snowboarding group that you're totally into it now. And
no, I always wanted to keep doing this stuff. Of course, I didn't just because my life took a different path and I wasn't like organizing group things. But I wanted to continue like the scuba diving thing, too. Like I
want
to have this extra certification you could get called National Geographic. And me and Victoria were going to go do that. But like I pulled the plug on myself like before I could do any of that. But any of these like athletic things or mostly athletic things we went out and did, like I wanted to keep doing.
Yeah, me too. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we hug our instructors. They were amazing. They were so good. And I don't think I've been snowboarding since.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
They don't show, because then it just cuts to the next morning at the condo. What they don't show is that later that night, we all went hot tubbing with Sean.
So we actually stayed two nights, which is crazy that my first overnight away was actually two nights.
Yeah.
Like that was nuts. So I don't remember the hot tubbing at all. Tell me.
Oh, so I can't remember if we got dinner with him too, but we definitely went hot tubbing afterwards. I remember they walked us to this hot tub. It was like in the snow and we all hung out and went. It was so cool because it was like part of a hotel mm-hmm. or the residences, whatever they are there. And there was like snow all around. It was amazing.
I'm surprised they didn't show footage of us getting in the hot tub since they were so concerned about like us being too covered up.
I don't even remember maybe the cameras filming it. I feel like they might have already been done.
I don't even remember. Are you sure I was there? I don't remember it at all.
I thought all of us were there.
Hmm.
Well, now you're making me second guess.
Yeah, I don't remember
at all. Okay, so then the next morning, we wake up.
Did anything happen in the hot tub?
No, it was just fun. We're all just hanging out. And I think we were drinking wine maybe or some sort of beverage. Packing up our suitcases, swirling the panties around, ready for our panty tree.
Yeah, we walk outside the hotel on our way out and we throw underwear in a tree.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
And Kendra doesn't join us and she is hurting. And her head, she said she has the worst headache. And you can tell, like, she does not feel good. And this is the trip home where I'm telling you she took up the whole row
right.
and went to sleep. And this was also why she was complaining after this that we need to fly first class. That was ridiculous that we're in coach. And when we get back, she's like the last one out of the car. She said she slept the whole way mm-hmm. in the car. And I mean, we'll get to it in a minute. It's card night at the mansion. So Hef is playing cards. You get a little glimpse of what that looks like because I feel like that's rarely shown.
Yeah, he had Wednesday night card night every night. And you're right. This is the first time we're seeing it. I like those moments.
So the limo pulls up and we get out.
I say I love traveling and I love when the three of us hang out together. It's good bonding time. And that was definitely true.
It
felt like when you could get the three of us on a trip that we were all into, that was like our best bonding time. It was probably the one major thing me, you, and Kendra had in common is we all love to travel and we all love to get out and get the most out of our trips. Like none of us were really the type where it's like, nah, I'm just going to sit on the beach all day. I'm just going to lounge all day. We all like to sightsee and get out and do things.
Definitely. an interview, I say none of us broke any bones. So I think that was a success. And I do think that was a success.
But it really was, because things, I mean, aside from the fact that if Kendra possibly got hurt, like, things could have really gone sideways. Like, I am the clumsiest bitch on the planet. I'd never been snowboarding. Like, things could have really gone sideways if we hadn't been careful.
Yeah. And I've hurt myself before doing this. So, so nobody was crazy injured, but I do think she had a concussion, because then Hef was like, well, where's Kendra? And then he walks out to the limo and she's just barely getting out of the limo.
Yikes.
And she really looks like she's hurting. She's half asleep. And he asks her, you know, how she feels. And she said the back of her head is absolutely pounding.
Ouch.
So I think she definitely.
That's a little alarming.
Yeah. And Hef looks concerned. But she says, I had the best time of my life. So he's super happy with that. And
I was going to say, and I meant this sincerely, Kendra, if this gets back to you, go get your head checked. But I'm like, I can't say that. Somebody's going to clip it.
Oh,
and take it out. Sounds awful.
Wait, does it show if you've ever had a concussion before, though?
I don't know if you went and got like a CT scan. It would say, oh, you had a concussion this long ago. But, you know, you might want to take a little look if you never have.
Yeah. And then it shows you walking into the kitchen. And I don't know if this was a voiceover or what, but you say, I'm craving elk now.
Oh, had to be voiceover.
And then it has me saying, sounds good. And there's no way I said that.
Yeah,
I
did not. Those were wild lines for sure.
I did not. And it even shows Littlefoot go. And then the camera pans away from the mansion and all is good because we're back home at the mansion.
All's well. Do you have best and worst?
I do. I did
that. Good.
So I don't really have a worst on this episode, to be honest. I thought it was an incredible bonding experience. I do know that I suffer from altitude poisoning. And if I can talk about this for a little second. It happens to me every year, even going back. At that time, I did not know that what I was having is altitude poisoning. You guys know I get migraines. I had a really bad migraine most of that trip. I didn't realize it was from the altitude. They always said, drink a bunch of water. I was drinking tons of water. It wasn't helping. Still doesn't help me to this day. I go every summer. I get it every time. And it doesn't matter if I drive and do the elevation slowly. It doesn't matter if I fly in. It doesn't matter. I get it. I get it for the first 3 days. I get it even in Denver. The first 3 days are always like bad headache. Usually my migraine medicine helps but I have to take it every 12 hours because it starts coming back. Like I feel it coming back. So I had to stay on top of it. One time I thought I was being slick and I asked my doctor, is there anything I can do about it? And they were like, oh yeah, there's this medication that prevents altitude sickness. I was like, amazing. I want a subscription for it, a prescription for it. So they give me a prescription for it. This is the weirdest shit I've ever taken in my life. After you take one, I don't know what it does, but everything tastes weird. Like if I were to taste my water, or
COVID
not just water, but like I remember I was drinking like a Diet Dr. Pepper and it tasted like perfume. And like everything I ate tasted like weird and
that's
not
bizarre.
What it was. Barbecue sauce tasted hella weird. Like everything was off.
Oh my God.
And so you can take it and you have to start taking it like, I forget now, but so many days before you actually are going to be in the elevation and then like the whole time you're in the elevation. But is it worth it if everything tastes like weird?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that.
I don't like it either. Mm-mm. So I stopped taking it and I don't even know if it 100% helps.
Oh, yeah. So that's definitely not worth it.
But yeah, it affects me all the time. It's really bad. I mean, I think if I have to pick a worse thing, it might be my tailbone issue that I have and be nervous about.
Or the food theme. Although that's like in every episode.
That's every episode. Like I feel like, and you know what? It's not even that showing me eating is what bothers me. It's how deliberate and how
totally
the message they're trying to send to people that it's not okay that I'm over here eating.
Yeah.
Or like, look at this piggy over here eating while
everybody else is getting ready and stretching and getting ready and stuff.
It's not that they're showing it or that I am eating and being healthy. It's the message that they're trying to send.
100%.
I guess maybe the worst thing is I do think the outfits should have been more color coordinated. I think that would have made the episode more I was gonna say more better. Mm-hmm. It would have helped everybody to know who was who and easier. Even when I was just trying to watch it back really quickly, I was like, who was that?
Yeah.
It's hard. It really is hard. And it was us. So I should know who was who.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine like just somebody watching. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I think that's my worst as well. I mean, other than the food thing, but I feel like that's so common in so many episodes. What's the point in making it the worst of this one?
Yeah.
But I think outfits would have been better. Like, I think my outfit I wore was so boring. It was like gray. It was very like dystopian. Like, am I from District 12 right now? Or
I think
what?
You like the idea that it was a one piece.
I definitely
I like
did. And I like
too.
The belted because it reminds me of like the James Bond bikini, although not the same effect in a full body zip up. But I like that. But the color, like, I think it would have been better if we had a little more time to do really cool outfits. It would have been more visual.
Yeah.
And I also don't love that there's so much time just spent on like the actual snowboarding of it all. Like, I know that's the point of the episode, but it's really not. Like I said, I didn't have as many notes as I usually do because there would just be like these minutes long action sequences. And it's like, what do you say about that? Like, could have been a little bit shorter. Or maybe it would have been fun to watch if we had better outfits that were more colorful and more distinctive. Although I do like the sound effects they put over it and stuff. Mm. So that's kind of the worst. Although overall, I really like this episode. I think the best, my favorite scene is the dinner scene because it's just, we're having such a good time with each other. And that's a nice memory. It's one of my favorite memories. I like my outfit. I think the scene is funny. And having Shaun White in the episode is cool.
It's funny because I thought that would be your least favorite
right?
scene of the whole thing.
I know.
So my best is just what an incredible, and I know I've said it a million times, what an incredible opportunity it was. Like, I mean, seriously, this was so amazing. There's nothing to dislike about the whole experience. And I feel like the love and the attention and all the stuff that we got from Burton and Vail and the resort, like, I feel like everybody was so open and happy to have us and excited, and everybody shared in the collaboration. Shaun White.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it. Everybody was so gracious and so nice. And like I said before, I don't think you can even pay for this type of experience. Like, I don't think you can pay for Shaun White to come and show you how to snowboard. I could be wrong. Maybe there is something, but I mean, snowboarding might not be my thing at the end of it, but like, I loved the opportunity. And then, like you said, the bonding between us, like that was very, very strong here. And I hope people can see that.
Yeah. But overall, I really like this episode. It's a shame that this was like known as like the lowest rated one or the one the network didn't like. I really like it. And I think it was just a really fun trip for all three of us.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. This week, we have your favorite guest. He's back for a third time. We have Marston Hefner here. We want to talk all about like holiday stuff and beyond. And I just thought of a question we don't have on here. So I want to ask it before I forget it. Did you do Elf on a Shelf when you were little, or was that not invented yet? Because I just started doing that with my kids.
I just went to Target and I saw Elf on a Shelf. And it's like, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. And it's so cute. And I wanted it and I had no idea what it was, except I just like loved the name. It was so fun. Elf on a Shelf. I just like saying it.
They're so cute. I didn't have it growing up, so it wasn't anything I had ingrained in me. Like, oh, I need to do this as a tradition for my kids. So I'm getting a late start. I'm just now doing it, but they love it. Like, I posed them last night after the kids went to bed. I posed them like getting buried in a cereal bowl and there's like a Santa doll pouring the cereal on them. And like, Forrest is still in that phase where he thinks like everything poop and butts is like hilarious. So we have them like TPing things and stuff. So it's been fun.
So holidays.
Yes.
Holidays. Should we start with like Thanksgiving?
Oh my God.
Did you spend Thanksgiving at your mom's or at the mansion?
My mom's. Do people go to the mansion? This year? I don't think people go to the mansion anymore.
No, I don't mean this year. I mean, traditionally, did you?
Traditionally,
growing
I did both.
Up? Yeah.
We did the double day. So my mom had Thanksgiving the day before. Then we'd go over the day after.
Oh, so she'd always do it on Wednesday?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
she knew that my dad, so that we could do both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad would always have the turkey leg. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was interesting.
There's always a picture with the turkey leg.
Yeah.
Some fan site posted like a montage. And like through the years, like they found like some pictures from the 70s of him with a turkey leg.
Wow.
I didn't know it went that far back.
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh. Yeah, the chefs would hand pick the best turkey leg. You know, they'd have like 8 turkeys in a row and they'd say which one, and then they'd give that one to my dad.
Oh, I didn't know there's a behind the scenes to the leg, the particular leg.
Yeah.
Have you, Have you guys seen the Lindsay Lohan Our Little Secret Christmas movie?
Mm-mm. No, I've just seen clips on TikTok.
It's like, so Lindsay Lohan is now like a part of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't have Christmas without Lindsay. And she did one. She did one last year, which was just like a banger. And now she's and I like that she's not doing any work but Christmas movies.
I love that she's found this niche.
Yeah, she found a niche and she's making a comeback and she's Christmas now.
Yeah.
I'm like all in.
That's amazing. She looks incredible. Like, I didn't know she was specializing in Christmas movies. I just saw she was out promoting something and people are like, whatever she's doing, she looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Then do you guys remember the eggnog?
Yeah,
like, yeah, the eggnog.
I don't know why. Like, as a kid, I was so fascinated by the eggnog because there was like this gorgeous silver bowl of eggnog. And it was Altadena eggnog, which is like the only kind that I would enjoy. But now I think it would make me sick. But Altadena, then there was the leaded and unleaded.
Yeah.
And it didn't say alcoholic or non-alcoholic. So as a kid, I was like, always wanted to try the leaded because that was for adults.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it meant,
but
just was like, that was my favorite, just drinking eggnog 24/7.
It was good.
It was so good.
It was really good.
We should have gone ghost hunting. That would have been such a great episode for your show.
Yeah. I know. We should have done that more.
It's maybe we could still do it. It's still there.
What's still there?
The mansion.
Is Darren into ghosts?
Oh, no, I heard he is not and absolutely not interested in like even playing with the idea that it's haunted there. I'm like, good luck with that.
Oh, did you see the picture he posted of the master bedroom? Mm-mm. It looks nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a crazy floor. Like, the floor looks like an M.C. Escher print. Like, you'd get dizzy if you were drunk looking at the floor. It's like a hardwood floor.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. Like, all the woodwork is preserved. Ooh. It's like the same structure. He has, remember that velvet wall that your dad would hang like pictures? It's not velvet anymore. It's like a gold kind of like geometric like art piece, but it's very art deco.
You're talking about just like that. It wasn't a wall that I remember. It was where his safe was.
Yeah, above the safe.
Yeah.
So it looks nice because a lot of it's like the same.
You know, like, to be honest, there's like a lot that somebody could do to make that house like technically better because it was kind of like outdated a little bit.
Yeah.
I just know that my dad loved it, but like, I could see there was room for improvement. It's just as it was my dad's home.
So yeah.
That's the only thing.
But I like that he preserved as much as he did. Like, okay. that part looked nice. Like, I was pleasantly surprised with that photo.
And then if you're interested, you might not be, but somebody who is working on the property took an iPhone and walked through everything. So you can see what's going on.
Have you seen that?
Why would somebody like, could you imagine that's your home and like you just see some random person like videotaping your home?
I know.
Home?
Well, that person's for sure fired if they figured it out.
That's gross. That's the grossest part of that. You got to fire that guy.
But I was so intrigued because I wanted to see what was going on in there. I've been dying to know. Mm-hmm. So it walked through, like you got to see like the Great Hall, the living room.
There was a room that I did not recognize at all. I don't know if it was something new he built underground.
Yeah, I think that has to be something new.
Can we talk about the coolest room in the home that nobody, first let's take a guess.
Okay.
Yeah, this is fun. Guess.
Okay, what do you think is the coolest room?
Else were you going to say? Coolest room in the house?
The coolest room in the home.
Okay, just in general. Yeah.
I don't know if this is the coolest room, but I have a secret spot that I think is cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same one.
I think so.
Okay. What I think is the coolest room, or what somebody might think is the coolest
room?
What
I think is the coolest room, but maybe what, who knows? I don't know how to say it. This is what I think is the coolest room.
The van room? No. Oh. Well, I know what Holly's going to say because it's so cool.
There was a bathroom on the second floor of your dad's room. There was a bathroom and it just had not been touched since like he probably first built it. Like, I know he bought the house in 71, but he was remodeling his own room for like years after that. And I want to say Mary told me that like that top floor wasn't finished until like the early 80s. But I don't think this room had been touched since the early 80s. And it was such a cool time capsule. Like you'd walk in and it had shag carpet, but the carpet still looked brand new because like nobody ever used this bathroom. And it had like the marble countertops and the sink handles had like naked women carved on them. And they were really beautifully done. And then there was a tray of like cosmetics, but it was really interesting. It wasn't like the usual like Pepto-Bismol trays you see outside for the parties or whatever. It would have like dry shampoo, but it would be a bottle from like 1981 that's like perfectly preserved. Wow. Yeah, that was the brand name. It had like the 99-cent price tag. It had like all this stuff. And it was just such a cool room because it was just like a literal time capsule.
That was up in his study?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was cool. What's your coolest
And it was
room?
Haunted.
Okay, that's a really cool. It was haunted.
The toilet would flush by itself sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, I loved his study. And that bathroom is so cool. It's literally so cool, I didn't even know it was there.
Do you remember the lobster in the video room?
Yeah.
There was like a weird plastic lobster. I remember pointing out it because it was so random. And the guys were like, Marston Cooper is scared of that lobster.
It's been there. It was there like since we were kids.
Isn't it weird? It's just the most random thing. And it's like sun faded because it's been there so long. Yeah.
Okay. So my favorite room is you're at the Great Hall and you're walking and there's the movie room.
The phone room.
In front of the phone room. I love the phone room.
The phone room's cool. Did you know I found a crack pipe in there once?
No.
And it was funny because I told Mary, I go, because I'd never seen like a crack pipe, but when you see one, you know it's a crack pipe. So I go, I found it during the day and I go told Mary, I go, I found a crack pipe in the phone room. And Mary just rolls her eyes and she knew exactly whose it was without missing a beat. And he got like banned from the mansion for a while. But I just looking back, I think it's so hilarious that she just like, but yeah, that was such a cute little room. And it's a room you like forget about.
Yeah, you don't even know it's there. It's just there's just this door and it looks like a closet door because there's like a closet on the other side. But then you open it and it's bright red. The carpet's bright, like shag red. And all the furniture is like, it doesn't look like it belongs in the rest of the mansion.
Yeah.
And there's like an old rotary telephone there that like maybe works, maybe doesn't. It was like a phone room that like has no purpose now this day and age. I just loved it.
I think my favorite room is the wine cellar.
Yeah,
because it was the secret door. I mean, not that I spent time down there or like or whatever, but like this, I like the fact that it was a secret door, that it was Prohibition era, that there was like secret stairs where you could open them up and there was hidey holes in them, and just the fact that it was there and so many people didn't know it was there and how you got into it. So I think just for those reasons it was my favorite.
Yeah.
The organ room was really cool too.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we had a ton of fun talking to Marston. We sat with him for over an hour, and that full conversation is going to be this week's slumber party on our Patreon. So we will see you guys there, and we'll see you guys here next week. Bye.